to the Sex and Sensuality for Church Girls podcast. I am your host, Lou Selenia, founder and owner of The Radiant Sessions, certified spiritual life coach and professional life coach, energy healer, meditation guide, and your priestess of sensuality.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kinky Church Girls Part 2. So I know last week, I had mentioned a specific guest, Dee Ray, and she's supposed to be on this week. Well, we recorded. Well, we thought we recorded. I thought we recorded. She thought we recorded. We had the session. It was a great conversation, as I mentioned. And I checked it, but not thoroughly. My bad. But so I went to edit yesterday, 2 days ago, and I should have listened to the entire thing because it's not usable at all. So we're going to figure out when we could do it again. I switched to a different platform to record, so hopefully that won't be an issue. I mean, it shouldn't be because I was able to have a guest, another guest that was going to be later on this month, Dr. LaVon Shaw, the Erogenous Coach. So we were able to record. That was also a great conversation. I never thought in a million years that I would talk to an ordained minister, a reverend, who was also a certified dominatrix. And I'm glad to not only have this conversation with her, but to have her in my life, to know her in real life, and to spend time with her and to glean from her wisdom. So we're going to jump right into it, and then we'll be back for our closing remarks after. Well, hello, everyone. We have an amazingly beautiful, talented, and just a guest that's going to knock your socks off. We have Dr. LaVon Shaw, the Erogenous Coach. She is an international best-selling author, transformational speaker, professional coach, marriage and relationship counselor, an ordained minister, and a certified dominatrix. We are in for a treat. I'm not going to hold you any longer. Dr. LaVon.
Yes.
You know, this is Sex and Sensuality for Church Girls. So tell us a little bit about your experience with being a Christian woman and, you know, how you got to this place as being the Erogenous Coach.
Well, first I want to say thank you so much for having me on your podcast. So excited to be here. You know how much I love you and promote you as much as I can. And how I got started in the church when I grew up, they were so busy telling you what you cannot do, what you cannot do, what you cannot do. They never said what you could do. And talking to young ladies and being a youth leader in the church, they were asking me questions I knew the answer to, but I wasn't sure if the church wanted me to tell the truth. So when we got opportunities to have girl talk or girl time, I would tell them the truth and talk to them. These are questions that their mothers wouldn't answer. Mm-hmm. And there were some moms who couldn't because they didn't know. But it was just so shunned. And as I got older and started coordinating weddings, I did what the church girls couldn't do. I went to the sexual sensuality stores and bought the toys and stuff for the bridal shower or the bachelorette party. But then they started calling me, how do I use it? And I gave them an education on that. And then what really happened, the very first call I got was from a bride who was a virgin, and she was in a beautiful suite that had a bathroom, that the bathroom had a telephone. That's how gorgeous the suite was that we arranged for them. And she said, I'm sitting on the floor crying because we need to go to bed and I don't know what to do. Mm. And I had coached the couple, counseled them also. So I told her, he's a wonderful gentleman. if you just ask him, tell him that you're nervous and ask him to hold you tonight and that you'll take care of him in the morning or later on tomorrow, he's very understanding he would do that. And that happened. So then she called me the next day and I explained some things she could do and then slow walked her through that. And then from one bride referral to another bride referral, for a long time, it was just referral by mouth. And then one year, I lost my good IT job. I was COO for an IT company. And I came home and I was crying because I was paid well. I didn't know what my next move would be. And my husband was like, go around this house, collect all these little pieces of paper you won't let me throw away. And finally write that book. He said, you can cry for about 3 days, but then write your book. And after that, Sex Between the Sheets, What God Allows, was the book, the first one. And it's been on since 2010.
That's God's work.
Yes.
You are doing God's work. And I know those women and those men are absolutely grateful that you were there in the place and willing to teach and guide and support them through that. And, you know, shout out to every woman who might be scared to ask, but is courageous enough to find the person that can help them, because you're right. It's a very restrictive, very legalistic way of growing up, is like, no sinning, do not do this, do not do that. But they're not taking into account what that does to your psyche as a woman.
Correct.
That one, you don't know. And two, now that you're married and you're supposed to be able to do these things, what happens when, okay, now I can do this thing with my husband, the marriage bed is undefiled, but for all of my life, I've been told in church that these are the things that dirty girls do.
My God, yes. And then you feel some kind of way. You feel some kind of way, especially when you feel your body coming alive and you feel you responding to the touch and it feels good to you. Then you think like, well, I shouldn't be feeling like that. But yes, you should. And I was at a marriage conference and even to this day, I still get shunned and blackballed by certain people and associates because I talk so openly about it. And I was at a conference and one of the preachers got up and he was shunning the things that were on my table, that you didn't need aids or tools. We call them marital enrichment tools to, you know, for the church instead of sex toys. But they're tools that you can add into your bedroom for bedroom play to help you out, because everybody can't hold an erection, or everybody... Some women need multiple erections, and the husband, the partner wants to please them, but he doesn't have the wherewithal. So you bring in the tools to help you out. So he was just going for it. And I could feel myself shrinking. And I had been doing this for a while, and I could feel myself shrinking. And the Lord was like, sit up, and this is what you're going to say. And I started talking about pleasure, how God is created and that he created pleasure. How the church only tells you that sex is for procreation. And that's why you have a penis and a vagina. And then he said these things to me, and I repeated them out loud, that the clitoris has over 8,000 nerve endings. They're all for pleasure. It has absolutely nothing to do with procreation. And if God was so detailed, detailed to give you your clitoris, and that's what his purpose, that's his assignment, and it does its job if you let it. It does its job if you let it. You know, one young lady said she was it you? One young lady was telling me, I was looking for the clitoris has over 8,000 nerves. You're going to get on my nerves. Get on one of those.
Yeah. I didn't say that, but I'll use it.
So I did a little TikTok for that, and the lady was like, that's what I was looking for, because that's what I need you to know. The church doesn't talk about that, and then you shun the women for it. You shun the women, not the men.
Yeah.
You shun the women for it, and then when you feel a cool breeze and your nipples become erect, you're like, oh, what is that? Or you're walking through the pool and the jet waters hit your vaginal area in a certain way, like, oh, what was that? And you're just surprised about the sensation and the tingling and the feelings that are going on through your body. But God created you to enjoy that. Mm-hmm. And once you dig up all those seeds of just negative stuff that sex is not dirty, but sex is beautiful. Because everything God created is good. That scripture, everything God created is good. He created intimacy. Then the second book I wrote for this, The Marriage Bed Revival, 21 consecutive days of intimacy, no penetration required. Mm. People are like, what? You don't have to have penetration to have intimacy. We lose simple things and just touch. We forget to touch. You forget to just look, gaze into each other's eyes. Sometimes I wonder, can you tell me what color your partner's eyes are? You haven't looked. And if the light hits it a certain way, it might be gray, silver, blue, green, brown, hazel. Depends if you take the time and look and see who they are. Get to know them. Know every roll and fold and curve and bend, every wrinkle, every stretch mark. Know all that. I encourage couples, yes, bathe each other. Take someone that gets Monday and Wednesday, someone gets Tuesday and Thursday. Then pat them dry. Then lotion them down with oils and just be in the moment, touching. You don't have to have intimate, I mean, you don't have to have sex, penetration sex, but just the touch. Even get in between the toes for that person. That's an erogenous zone between the toes. And we overlook all of that because we're so busy trying to do wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. But the touching part of being right there in the moment with that partner.
Yeah, it's so important. One, for us to learn our own bodies. Because that's also, you know, something that is unfortunately very common. When you talk to some women and they're like, and I'm like, do you even know what your vagina looks like? And they're like, I'm like, it's beautiful. Go sit in front of a mirror and look at her and say good things to her.
And talk to her and give her.
Tell her that she's beautiful and strong and all that. Like, this is the life force right here.
This is the energy.
So then, and then we don't know. And then we expect to get with a partner and that they're going to automatically know. And maybe they're good and they help you. But a lot of times that disconnect isn't just, they can be good, but you're not connected to your own body that you don't even feel empowered to tell them, no, stay right there.
Right. Exactly.
No, slow down. No, speed up, put more pressure.
Yes.
No, back off.
Exactly.
And to, you know, and so then it becomes a chore. Oh, he wants, you know, I'm tired. You know, all these stereotypes that we hear that obviously only are stereotypes because they exist. Mm-hmm. It happens. And, you know, we're seeing a revolution of women, you know, reclaiming their sexuality and being more comfortable in their sexuality. And I'm so glad that you also focus on the intimacy part of it and that penetration isn't required, although if you do it right,
yeah, you do it right,
you likely are going to want to go
if you do it right.
But it's beautiful because even talking to men and how I think we have as women needed permission and are giving each other permission to own our sexuality and how men need that permission to be like, maybe it's not always sex. Maybe what they want and need to be able to ask for is intimacy. And they only get it during sex because, you know, men aren't supposed to want those things. You're supposed to want to conquer her.
Correct.
And
They need intimacy too. Mm-hmm. Before we move on to that, let's go back for looking at yourself, looking at your vagina. And I laugh because people are always amazed. Most of the time my hair is purple. Sometimes it's purple and pink. And I did that intentionally because if you have a healthy vagina, she's pink. The pink colors, like if you look at the tongues or the bottom of your eyes, it should be pink. That means that you're in a healthy position. When it gets engorged with blood, she'll turn shades of purple. Mm-hmm. That's why I wear purple and pink hair. And I laugh because people are like, why do you wear it? And I tell them, I'm like, is that real? And go look and find out, you know, go find it out.
Yep. Or the fact that it gets engorged. It grows.
And that I didn't pull it down, but the clitoris is more than just a little bulb of flower right there. Mm-hmm. It goes around the vulva. It's behind the walls. It's right there. And when she gets engorged and you feel her throbbing and thumping, yeah, just give her a name. Sunny was with me. It's been 3 weeks already.
Yeah, I think so.
And I had the honor of working with her and having her work with me. It was a pleasure. And my session was to talk about the body. And we were talking about the vaginal area. And we gave her a name. Her name was Joy. She brings you joy. She's your juicy orgasmic yoni. And we were like, what?
Never. So, I will never hear Joy the same again. I love it so much.
I was telling some friends about it. They were like, you did what? He said, I'm going home to my wife.
So, I need to talk to Joy today.
Yes. So just when you're sitting there and how are you feeling, joyful, you know, so it means a whole different thing now. But I know some women got free. I know some women got free, but when I pray and ask God just to give me one person, if I can talk to a million women and one person mm-hmm. gets healed or released and set free, I know I've done the assignment God has called me to.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing to be able to accept that God was so mindful of us mm-hmm. that God would give us something. Like you said, it's just for pleasure. And then I also like to remind them, biologically, if we do not use it,
you lose it.
You are at risk of it can collapse.
Mm-hmm. And they so don't realize that.
Do not misuse, abuse, and neglect the gift of your clitoris.
Yes.
Because some women are only able to have orgasms with clitoral stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are plenty ways and you can have combination orgasms and all those things. I was like, but some women need that clitoral stimulation. But if you don't touch yourself, if you don't explore, if you don't give yourself permission, that's one of my most favorite definitions of orgasm is giving yourself permission to experience ultimate pleasure.
Ultimate pleasure.
And how many of us like will hold our breath, will like won't let ourselves go there because again, we weren't taught that that was a good thing.
And that it's okay, that you can enjoy it. And you're bound by that. And then you have partners who's like, breathe, be here. Don't close your eyes and fade away and not be in the moment. Mm-hmm. Be there with me because that's part of the joy of seeing their response. Now, as much as I teach and talk about sex, what I will share here, that my favorite position is the missionary position. And it's that because I get to see his expression, his face of when he's about to ejaculate and just the feeling of when he's entering and then the pleasure of how it feels. But I could do exercises. I could do my Kegels and I'm just giving you a kiss down there, baby. And he's, what is that? That's just me. I got it. I got control. And I'm going to let you know that you can come and go. But I got you. And then as he's pulling out, I'll seal it with a kiss. I'll tighten up my vaginal walls. He's like, oh, but it's just all for the pleasure. Mm-hmm. But seeing the joy and thrill and excitement on his face is why I particularly like that position.
Yeah. I'm with you there. I want full view.
Yes.
You. It definitely enhances the moment and the moments.
Yes, definitely.
So, you know, we got to how you got to be the erogenous coach. What was the shift for you? And what role does kink play now that you're a certified dominatrix, which I absolutely adore. I love that so much. Talk more about that. Tell us about that.
Well, exactly how it happened. I had a lot of couples wanted to play and they wanted to do the movie 50 Shades of Grey. And I don't teach what I don't know. You know, I don't come off the cuff because that kind of play, and I call it sacred play for the church, sacred mm-hmm. play, can be a little dangerous if you don't know the rules and the following. So because of that, I decided to sought after a teacher who could train me, certify me. Really, I just really need to get educated about it so I can go teach couples. That's how it started. But I ended up loving it to the point where I became certified in it, and now I want to teach it. And there are different levels of it. There are different levels on a scale. So everybody always goes straight to, I don't want to be handcuffed and beaten till I'm bleeding. There are different levels of play. I teach the most probably sacred part of it. And then the best part of it that I failed to share that a couple weeks ago was the aftercare. Because the intimacy is in tending to your partner after you finish playing and checking in, make sure that they're okay and that they're in a good headspace, because they can go into a subspace of pleasure. It's pleasure for them. So, but that's how I got into it. I studied diligently for over 9 months. I'm still connected because that's how great the class was. And I'm just giving like kink 101 classes. I'm going around the world teaching that, just showing people how to play safe and how you can incorporate into your marriage bed play. We all know or jokingly say about the safe word, you know, but that safe word is important because if it gets a little rough, it gets a little uncomfortable, you need to say your safe word. Your safe word could be anything that you wouldn't say normally. You know, it could be pineapple, it could be pink, it could be silver, it could be curtain, you know, something out of the blue that will stand out to get that person's attention. And with the play, the kink play, and for the church, sacred play, the pleasure goes both ways because your partner might want to be spanked. You see it as they walk through, they smack you on your bottom. You like that. You're like, oh, sure. And they do too, mm-hmm. because they want to feel desired. They want to feel wanted. So you pop them on his bottom. So sometimes you might can just take a little paddle or something and just pat them, just tap them ever so gentle. And, but yes, that's how I got into it. Looking forward to it expanding. I have a lot of ladies ready. I just have to get some things lined up. And I'll be starting school.
Nice. So talk about a little bit more about the levels, especially if there's a couple, or maybe, you know, the couple hasn't talked about it. Maybe the wife is listening and she's like, I've really been wanting to do this. You know, how do I get involved? How do I start to learn? What are those levels? Because all I know is, you know, and most people in the kink community that I know kind of hate 50 Shades of Grey. Because it's not really a healthy, you know, positive depiction of what really it's about. And a lot of people have come into the community with really bad ideals from those movies, and they gotta be redirected. So educate us a little bit.
So the different levels of play are simple. I'll just start off with, and I wish I'd have brought a movie. Well, it was not visual. The paddle, or the flogger, just the different levels of leather. So it's really your sensory of touch, of the leather going on your skin. It could be a leather glove, very, very simple, very light. Your partner might like the smell of leather or the feel of leather, the excitement or the sound of leather being pulled on your skin. That's like the smaller end of the spectrum. And then as you increase, you can bring in the floggers or the paddles. Some are leather, some are wood, some are solid, some have holes in them. Just different types of toys you can play with. You can use a riding crop. You can use rope. I love rope, and I can't wait to get certified in that. And I'm going to tell you, I was a little apprehensive about the rope. Mm-hmm. I went and I got a one-on-one session because you had to slow walk me because I got to really get it, right? Yeah. And the gentleman tied me up And I took security. I have security with me at all times. And I was laughing because as he was pulling the rope across my skin, I was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't understand it. But the feeling of the rope coming across your skin was very sensual. Mm-hmm. And you all will probably say, nah, nah, nah. But check this out. We used to wear watches. Some of us have our smart watches, but we wore watches back in the day, and I have on a bracelet today. So when you take off your bracelet or your watch, you have that indentation in your skin, mm-hmm. and then you rub it and rub it and rub it. It's a sensation that you actually like it and enjoy. We also, as women, have it every day when we take off our bras. You know, we have the indentation, and we rub, and it's actually sensual if you get your partner to rub and help bring your body back to where the fluids are back into that part of your body. So you're actually doing some of it and you don't even know. You're actually in the kink world.
Mm-hmm.
And then it graduates more on to spanking. And you can have gentle spanks. You can have hard spanks. There's some couples who play with role play. There's some couples who even go into the kink part of it. Puppies and kittens, but it's your level of play. And I suggest that you go out of your house on a date and just sit and have a conversation. Honey, I have a fantasy and this is what I would like to try. Your partner might say, I'm willing to do that with the limitation of this. I don't want to do this, this, and this. And you constantly, when you do begin it, you check in. You okay? Are you okay? Is this okay? Can I give you some, excuse me, can I increase the intensity of it? But you constantly connecting. So that in turn teaches you to build a closer bond with your partner, even outside of the bedroom. How about that?
Yeah. I think that's one of the things that if I, you know, were to talk to a couple, I'm like, if you don't ever do the more, you know, intense parts of kink, there's still so much that every couple can learn from kink. And the intentional communication consistently is so important, regardless of whether you ever want to do kink at all. Yeah. And you find that a lot of people don't, you're married and you don't talk about it. You just assume that it's good, or you know it's not because you're not having it. But no one wants to talk about why they're not having it, or if they're actually enjoying it, or what would you enjoy more. And to talk about where your limitations are, to have, you know, even have a safe word, to talk about what you need afterwards.
That aftercare
for mm-hmm. both people, not just for the woman, because I think a lot of times people think that it's like, oh, the man has to, you know, take care of her. No, what does he need? They exactly. like to be the little spoon too sometimes.
Yes, that's true.
You know, they want their back rub, like, you know, or, you know, one thing I'm learning is I like to be talked through an orgasm.
Yes.
Tell me I'm a good girl. Tell me, you know, encourage me. And then if you get into the sacred sexuality of it, you can start speaking affirmations.
Yes.
Manifesting through orgasms. Mm-hmm. You know, like it, the world is, it's boundless as long as, and the way that if you're in a healthy kink situation, consent is everything.
Everything.
And if you are submissive, and that's something that you want to do, realizing that submissive is not without power.
Mm-hmm.
The submissive holds a lot of power, because the moment that you decide this is enough,
it's over.
You get to stop everything.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, and so there's so much that I think that as Christian people, we could get from exploring, you know, and you decide how far you want to go, how far you don't want to go. But we, you know, we tend to demonize things that, you know, are not man, woman, you know, straight sex, just for kid, just for pro, like you said, just for procreation, and that's it.
But that, you taught so
and anything outside of that is like
is not of God, and that's not true. I've had a preacher say from the pulpit the only position was the missionary position. That is a lie from the pit of hell, because there's something wrong with your back and you can't be in a missionary position, and they have to put you on the back of the chair to elevate your hips. You got to do what you got to do, but that's still intimacy in your bedroom. The same preacher also said that oral sex was of the devil. No, it's not. Your wife is not performing it, and you want everybody else to suffer because she won't do it. No. So I encourage couples a lot of times to go out and have the conversation, because that is one of the conversations you're not talking about. Even when a scene comes on in a movie, the first thing y'all do is kind of look at each other and look away. Mm-hmm. Look, learn, and see, hey, can we try this? Hey, what about we do this? When we wrote the book, the 21 Consecutive Days of Intimacy, we were actually doing different things. Like, I'm a big girl. Michael's a big guy. We're out there having sex in the car. I was hollering, cracking up, because when I was younger, that was easy. But older, you had to really pull the seats, use the headrest. You know, you got to do things to make it work. But that brought back the fun and the intensity of it. But with you and your partner, all I'm simply saying now is go out on a date and talk about some things you would like to try. I challenge couples all the time. We have a scratch-off mat, a global mat. Make love around the world. That's what's our goal. Make love around the world. We went on several cruises, so we had several dots in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, mm-hmm. and Pacific Ocean and the Caribbean Ocean. Make love around the world. So when you go up past the map and you're like, oh yeah, we oh yeah, Aruba, yeah, yeah, Camp, yeah, you know. And it's funny because they were like, that is the weirdest goal, but that's my goal. Yeah. That's what I wanted to do and still want to do. Make love around the world. Of course, as many states in the United States that you can get in, that's just fun. Mm-hmm. And it's something to do. It gives you the reason to go to Wisconsin. You know, it gives you a reason to go to Utah, Salt Lake City, and to see something you've never seen before. Because most people of color don't like to be cold. But if you want to fill up your map, you try something new. Yeah.
And baby, you won't be cold for long.
You sure won't.
You won't be cold. So this has been a wonderful conversation. And I know. Like you said, if there's just one person listening that got free, that is going to reorient themselves to their sexuality, to their sexual experiences, to realize that God called it good. God mm-hmm. created it, and so it's good.
Yes.
And we are free to make consensual decisions with our partners and to enjoy it. To explore our bodies and each other's bodies, to get creative, to fantasize, mm-hmm. and to realize it doesn't just have to be a fantasy. We mm-hmm. can make those fantasies a reality.
Ooh, yes.
And God still calls it good.
And still call it good.
So thank you for joining us on Sex and Sensuality for Church Girls. Before we leave, because you are starting a school, so if people want to learn more formally, if they want to, maybe you want to, you know, we didn't even talk about the fact that you can get a dominatrix and it doesn't have to be sexual. You can get a dom who's a man and it doesn't have to be sexual at all. I found that, you know, kink has helped me with healing trauma from being sexually assaulted, because of the way that it empowers me to only get what I want, to stop when I don't want it, to, mm-hmm. you know, have someone who is going to care for me afterwards in the way that I deem it's appropriate and necessary. And so, you know, maybe we'll have you back and we can talk about those things. But okay. In the meantime, how can people connect with you, whether, you know, to find out where you're going to be next or to find out when you're going to launch the school or get coaching, you know, married couples or you're going to be, you know, engaged couples, how can they reach you?
So married couples, engaged couples, and women. So I'll try to reach you all. You can follow me on social media on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'm trying to build up my Twitter. So it's the Erogenous Coach, LLC, or just the Erogenous Coach on all those platforms. And so definitely reach out and please follow and like and share as much as possible. And I keep my passport current and I travel. I know I'm supposed to be in the DR in April. And I'm talking with someone about the lease in the end of January, but I'll let you know. But I'll post about April. I was supposed to be, I did it virtually in Arizona last weekend, and 2 weeks ago I was in Bethany Beach. So traveling to wherever your conference is not a problem. Just let me know ahead of time so I can make sure that my family is stable and come out to minister to women and couples how to minister between the sheets.
All right. All right, well, thank you. This has been wonderful. And until next time. Wasn't that an amazing, enlightening conversation? Have you ever talked to a minister, a pastor, about sex like that? at least, especially not in public. We might have those conversations with those people of that stature, they are friends, our family, in private. But those conversations generally do not happen in public, which is one of many reasons why Sex and Sensuality for Church Girls exists and why I'm continuing to do this work, because there's so much for us to discuss, so much for us to learn, so much for us to let go, so we can have these beautiful, amazing experiences that I know we were destined and we are destined to have. So in closing, you know, normally I try to give you something inspirational or even do a meditation with you all. Today, I'm going to share a little bit of me and, you know, just give you a little tidbit of me, my life, what's going on. So if you follow me on Instagram, if you do not, go ahead. It'll be on the screen. I'm going to edit this as a video. If you're listening to this on audio on Spotify or Apple, I'm going to see and test out some things about making this a video podcast as well. But my personal Instagram is I am Lucelenia. The business podcast is The Radiant Session, so you can follow one or the other. I post quite a bit about my life, not everything, but quite a bit about my life on my personal Instagram, just to share and be authentic. I know we're used to hearing, oh, you know, social media is just a highlight reel, and I do post a lot of highlights. I do try also to post things that are transparent and vulnerable and honest. The reality of it is, though, my life, although it lives, there are things that happen that bad, but the highlight reels that I post, I am not posting them to make it seem like my life is perfect, but I am posting it because my life really is lit right now. Like, I am enjoying my life in a way that I don't think I even ever thought of as a possibility, especially as a 39-year-old staring down the age of 40 who is single, has no kids. Like, I imagine I was gonna, you know, graduate college, get married, settle down, and my satisfaction and joy in life was going to be having a family. So you can imagine, especially if you've been there, maybe you haven't, but if you've been there, then you know what it feels like, especially if you didn't get those things and you still don't have those things, the grief that you go through when you pass those ages that you somehow, you know, for a myriad amount of reasons, feel like, oh, this is the age that this is supposed to happen, and this is supposed to happen here, and by this age I'm supposed to do this, and you pass those ages and you're like, Okay. All right. And so I've had to grieve those things, but at this point in my life, I am grateful for what I have. I'm grateful for who I am. I'm grateful for the experiences that I get to live, and I'm grateful for the ability to do it in a way that hopefully inspires other people to live radiantly. And so in this time in my life, like, I have decided to go back to the gym. I've been feeling for probably the better part of the year that I needed to take better care of my body. And I take care of my body as far as pleasure goes. I take care of my body as far as listening and feeling my feelings, but I wasn't necessarily taking care of my body physically as far as exercise and that type of thing and strength training. And when I lost weight, because there aren't many pictures, and I think I maybe have one or two, but at the height of my abusive relationship, almost 5 years ago, I was almost 300 pounds, if not 300 pounds. I don't know, because when you're that depressed, you don't get on the scale. I barely looked at myself in the mirror, let alone took pictures, which is why there aren't really many pictures. And by the time I started weighing myself, I had already lost some weight. So there's that. But I enjoyed it then, but I was doing it obviously for health reasons, in the sense that, you know, my joints hurt. I wanted to wear heels again. I was just, the weight that I was carrying emotionally, spiritually, and physically was too much. This time I love my body. There's always things that, you know, we could be like, oh, I could have a bigger butt or a smaller waist, but I'm fine as hell. So it wasn't that. I've been to the doctor. My numbers are great and healthy. When all my tests came back healthy. So it wasn't that either. I just felt like it was time. And I went and got a gym membership. I never went to the gym, because going by myself and like that self-starter thing wasn't really working. So I got a trainer. And shout out to Fit Temple. I've been going there for 2 months, and it's been such a joy. if you listen to the first part, then you know why that's funny. It's been such a joy to go there 2 to 3 times a week and to work out, to push myself, to get stronger, to see how my body is changing, and to be committed to it. You know, there's something, again, you know, I'm always an advocate of finding things that feeds you, that is all about you. Like, you deserve to be selfish sometimes. The thing that I was not expecting, though, especially because I am naturally a very sexual person. Now, caveat, a lot of people think that means that I'm having a lot of sex. I am not. Pray for me. I accept this stage in my life, but it ain't easy being a very sexual person. Although I regularly masturbate and orgasm, so I'm not missing those. Just, they're not coming from other people. I was extremely transparent, but I just wanted to put that out there because that's what we're here for. But I was not expecting, because I don't remember it happening the last time that I was in a gym and working out consistently, that despite being a very sexual woman, that working out is making me even more sexual. Like, it's actually making it harder to be abstinent right now. Yeah, whereas masturbating usually is great for me, and you know, I can do that, and it's cool. Yeah, so that's been interesting. So, you know, but I think it's partially not just like what's happening to my body and the way that it's looking, and like I'm looking even sexier, and that's turning me on. It's also the way that I am engaging being a gym girly, because I'm turning into a gym girly. I'm buying all the cute outfits and everything. Is I'm doing it with an intentional spirit, mind, body connection. And I mean that to say, like, I go in there and I'm not just moving my body and doing what my trainer tells me to do. Like, he's been increasing my weights and I'm like, this is heavier. He's like, yeah. And I've been doing it. But when I do it, like, I am sending signals to my butt. Cause yes, I want a fatty. Like, and we building it, like, it's growing. So just be careful. Okay. But I am willing my butt to grow. I am willing these things to happen. And if you think that that's like futile, then you need to learn more about the power of your intention, because the shit is happening. Cause let me tell you, like, I'm not like a health nut when it comes to food at all. I eat very intuitively. I do not deny myself. I don't binge though. I don't meal prep. I'm drinking more water. And that alone is going to make a difference. Like, just not drinking juice and soda and making sure you drink your water. If you do nothing else, that to start, it's going to be amazing. I eat vegetables. I don't really do a lot of fried foods anyway. I just got an air fryer, so even less now. But like, I'm not counting calories. I'm just doing what's right for me. Because I'm in tune with my body. That's sensuality has helped me to even become in tune with my body when it comes to health. But even spiritually, like, I'm constantly getting downloads as I'm working out, and just how the importance of doing something hard. And even when my body is ready to give out, I can, again, will my spirit, my body, to go beyond what I think I can do. And that's amazing, because if I can do it when I'm doing mountain climbers after I've already done a full circuit and my body's just like, okay, then what else can I use that for? You know, how does that apply to other places in my life? It's when I'm going out and deciding to buy new workout clothes and being cute, and, you know, I like looking good regardless. Makes me feel good. I like going to the gym and not being like, oh, I'm just gonna bum it out. Okay, if you do, but that's just not me. And realizing, like, if this is a habit that I am going to continue to maintain, that part of what is helping me to be consistent with it is that it's becoming part of my identity. It's not just something I do, it's who I am. And again, when I want to make a change in my life, like this one, or like something else, it can't be just what I do. It has to be part of who I am if I want to make it a lasting change. Because it's easy to do something for a little while and then it falls off. But when it gets to who you are, and it's like, oh no, this is part of my makeup as a person, and I like the way I feel enough, I like I like what I'm getting from it enough that I'm going to take this and I'm going to make this part of, you know, what defines me. I am someone who gets up 2 to 3 times a week, 8 o'clock in the morning, to go to the gym, and I enjoy it. I look forward to it. So yeah, that's a little update on me. If you're in Baltimore and you're looking for a trainer, Fit Temple, I will tag them in the show notes. So they are taking more clients. So get in while you fit in. It is a great place. In 2 months, I'm telling you, like, if you know me, you know, like, my face is changing. And I'm just telling you, like, I'm not going hard on eating. Not saying that you shouldn't, because everybody's different, but we working, and it's working. So I love you all. As always, be as radiant as the sun. If you want to connect with me, go ahead and visit theradiantsessions.com and put in your name and email address. If you would like, I will follow up with a link for you to schedule a complimentary 30-minute session with me, as we get to launch very, very soon the Radiant Sessions community, and I will be announcing VIP days. So definitely lock in. I look forward to hearing from you, and just love connecting with you all. And see you next time. Bye.